J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
And while the hotline opens on November 2nd, not surprisingly, the volume peaks on Thanksgiving Day. So right now, Butterball's paying turkey experts to sit by the phone, but no one's calling. So to give those nice talk line operators something to do, this morning, I called the Butterball hotline. And I asked them some of the urgent turkey questions on my mind. This is...
The Late Show presents Thanksgiving Turkey Tips with our friends at Butterball. First things first, I called the Butterball Turkey Tip Hotline.
Butterball Turkey Talk Line, Nicole speaking. How can I help you?
Hey, Nicole. This is Stephen Colbert from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Well, hi, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Nicole?
We are fantastic.
Okay, great. I got a question about my turkey. Could you help me with that?
Absolutely.
What's the best way to thaw this thing out?
Great question. You know, that's the number one question we get year after year.
I got mine in the garage right now in a hefty bag, and I poured in a jug of antifreeze.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we don't recommend that.
Thanks for your help.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Happy
Bye.
Thanksgiving.
You too. Hi, Turkey Talk Line. Who's this?
This is Chef Tony. How may I help you?
Is that your name or is Chef your title?
Chef's my title and Tony's my first name, yes.
I got a question for you, Tony.
Yes.
I got a nephew who wants me to make tofurkey this year. What's the best way to let him know he's no longer welcome in my house?
He wants to do a vegan-style turkey.
He does, yeah.
That's almost impossible to do.
How many people are there there? How many of those... are you all in the same room together?
We're all in the same room. There's five of us to hear.
Tony,
yes.
If you're being held against your will, just say, Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, I understand. I understand. Loud and clear. We're going to get something to you right away. Stay where you are, Tony. Don't go. Stay strong.
Okay.
Be brave.
What about Turkey Talk Line? Happy Thanksgiving. This is Janice.
Janice?
Yeah.
Hi. Hey, I plan to serve my turkey with some cranberry sauce, which I like with a hint of orange zest and red wine. The thing is, my kids like it plain. So should I serve both kinds, or should I leave my family and move to Barcelona and pursue my dream of being a dancer?
I'd probably start with leaving the wine out of the cranberries first.
Oh, really?
And then go ahead and add that later.
Oh, so serve it without the wine to the kids and add it for me. With
Absolutely.
The wine. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I like to take a packet of orange Liqui-Made and pour it upside down into a bottle of Pinot Grigio, shake it up a few times, and then just put a nipple on the top and crawl into a corner.
You know, whatever works.
Janice, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Okay, bye.
Hi, this is Phyllis from the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. How can I help you?
Phyllis?
Yes.
Hey, Phyllis, it's Stephen Colbert from The Late Show.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. We're talking turkey here.
Yeah, let's talk turkey. Here's how I prepare my turkey. I have deep, unresolved feelings of rage, and they come out when I baste the turkey. I do what I call hate basting, where I just jab it with the baster and pretend it's the face of people who have wronged me. Here's my question. Will that flavor come out in the turkey?
Well, that's not our department here. You know, we're the cooking line. We're the experts. So
I understand.
We
got you on the phone. I got you on the phone, though. As long as I got you on the phone here, I mean, don't you ever need to let off some steam?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Halloween
yeah.
is easy because I've done some unspeakable things to a pumpkin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine you do that. But why don't you just be good to the turkey this year?
Okay. Thanks very much. Happy Thanksgiving. Say hi to Tony. Bye.
Good afternoon, Turkey Talk Line. Chef Tony, how may I help you?
Tony, it's Steven again. Hey, how do I deep fry my turkey without catching my house on fire? And as a quick follow-up question, can you connect me to the fire department?
Well, don't put a wet turkey in a hot fat, no.
Never fry a wet turkey
in hot oil.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, stay strong, Tony. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You're breaking my heart, Tony. We'll be right there.
This has been Thanksgiving Turkey Tips with our friends at Butterball.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again. Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Well, here we go for our Thanksgiving show Wednesday, November 24th. 2021, 349 days left in our democracy as we have known it, but we will not dwell on that today. Some of my best memories of parties are things that took place on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Oh, brother, I am telling you, I can remember in high school and college that night before Thanksgiving, just craziness, just absolutely insane parties and people doing stuff that they would normally never do. But that's not the only thing going on. We have an update on Nipplegate. That's right. It was years ago. It was 2003, the halftime show, Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. They have been calling this a wardrobe malfunction forever. And now it turns out that people are starting to talk. Because you got this documentary that's coming out on FX and Hulu. And I don't know if that's the only place it is. I know that's where it's going to be. And as I have identified, we were just talking about this the other day, what happened at that show was not a mistake. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a malfunction. It was exactly what they planned. And people have been challenging that. And I've gotten in some pretty good arguments about that since 2003. But now it turns out that somebody named Sally Frattini, who was interviewed for this special, according to this, senior VP of MTV. And whatever you do, don't get the idea that because it's MTV, that it was just a bunch of college kids, high school dropouts, and, you know, wannabes who couldn't make it as musicians. So they sort of hung around MTV until somebody gave him a show or something like that. This was big money stuff. This was this company owned by Viacom, and they don't fool around. What you saw was all that stuff that I just mentioned, because image being everything when you're talking about young adults. You got to walk the walk, talk the talk. You got to look the part, all that sort of stuff, and all of that sort of cosmetic stuff, the stuff that you see. But trust me, because I was there. I hung out up there for almost a week back in the early 1990s. And, of course, Smash, too. You know, Smash did an entire summer of fill-in at MTV. And we've had a lot of discussions about his experience there. And, like I said, they're not fooling around. There's big business, big, big money business. There were plenty of suits running the stuff. And what you saw, though, was, you know, the MTV VJs and Kurt Loder and people like that. Well, Viacom was also part of CBS. And that's the network the Super Bowl was on this year. So this whole thing was all intertwined, interconnected. And now people are talking about what actually happened. And according to this MTV senior VP, Janet Jackson and her stylist, some guy named Wayne Scott Lucas, went rogue after the costumes had been approved, spending money on new fabric and a starburst nipple cover at the last minute. And supposedly on the day of the performance, the day of the Super Bowl, it is alleged that when Justin Timberlake arrived at the stadium, he was whisked into her dressing room to speak with Janet and the fabric guy. What is it? Yeah, the stylist. And they brought him in there and they explained to him, okay, everything's been approved and everything like that, but we're going rogue and we're going to do this thing. You're going to reach over and you're going to pull this Velcro thing off. And underneath is going to be Janet Jackson's boob with this giant nipple shield on it. And in fact, the stylist took offense to the idea that it was a wardrobe malfunction. And this person said, I don't malfunction. I'm a professional stylist, $10,000 a day back then. I can't fail. I don't malfunction. So again, as I've been telling you for years and years and years, since 2003, it was all planned. What you saw on TV and what they saw around the world, like a billion people, was part of the plan. Now, it makes sense that these two people went around the network. But again, it's just more bullshit from this Jackson family, which has been trying to manipulate audiences for decades now. Not saying they're not talented. Michael Jackson was very talented. Janet Jackson, very talented. You know, they also look good on camera, you know, and that's, you know, show business. That's what show business is about. But on the other side of the coin, the father is nuts. The mother is just a facilitator. The kids are all basking in the reflected glow of the only two people in the family that have talent, which was Michael and Janet. Michael was a pedophile over and over and over again, a drug abuser, and that's just the short list. And Janet apparently also had that defective gene, And don't get me wrong, I like people who, you know, the old phrase was, you know, thinking outside the box, and people got tired of hearing that metaphor. But it is true. Janet figured, let's do this thing. Let's do this. And as is often the case, people, because of all the adulation and everything like that, they forget that not every decision they make is infallible and that they are capable of misjudging things. And Janet Jackson, that's exactly what happened. She misjudged the situation. The thing backfired. It blew up in her face. And here it is almost 20 years later, and she still won't cop to it, and he won't cop to it. So now you got this thing on FX and Hulu, which is going to examine this whole thing, and I think you're going to finally get the true story, although you just got it right here, too. Every once in a while, I'll play that song, The 30-Point Buck. I had no idea. I had no idea that there was much hunting going on in the state. The state of Missouri alone, 90,000 deer taken this hunting season. 90,000! There's a lot more going on out there than I was aware of. Stan Kroenke, mediation meeting in St. Louis yesterday. Nobody was expecting too much, but now the more and more I'm hearing about this, the more there will be some sort of deal, even if it's 10 minutes before it's supposed to go to trial, and they cut a deal on the courthouse steps in downtown St. Louis on January 10th when the trial is due to begin. Stan Kroenke standing to lose 2/3 of his total wealth. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in punitive damages and maybe even into the billions. And he now knows that the jig is up. And again, talking about somebody who misjudged the situation, thought he was infallible, thought he was the smartest guy in the room. The only problem is, in this country, we have laws, and some people have to follow them. Not everybody, but, you know. But I have to say, watching Stan Kroenke just hanging and twisting, and he's hanging upside down, by the way, and twisting in the wind, is one of the most enjoyable things I've ever experienced. You get the idea that maybe we are not being told everything. NASA launching this thing, I guess it was yesterday, the Armageddon launch. You'll recall in the movie Armageddon, a giant asteroid was heading towards Earth, and they sent guys up, Bruce Willis and some other people, to go blow the thing up to see if they could knock it off course so it would save the Earth. And in a case of life imitating art, now we got this thing going up there, and why would they be doing this if they didn't think that something is on the quote-unquote radar and that something is coming our way? Why would they be doing this experiment unless they thought they were going to need it? Meanwhile, Michael Strahan is going up on the next Blue Origin flight on December 9th. This will make him the tallest person ever in space at 6'5", current record held by two former U.S. astronauts who were 6'4". Don't forget now, House of Gucci opens tomorrow. Lady Gaga, Adam Driver, Al Pacino, Jeremy Irons, Ridley Scott movie, an almost unidentifiable Jared Leto in this movie. I've given it 4 out of 5 corks, and Lady Gaga is just amazing in this movie. She was on with Colbert last night, and they were celebrating because, get this, the Grammy nominations come out, and the guy with the most nominations of everybody, forget Justin Bieber and Doja Cat, and I like Doja Cat, by the way, Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, all these names that, unless you have kids around or nieces or nephews, don't even know what I'm talking about, but they're pop singers. But out of all of these people, 11 nominations, including Record of the Year and Album of the Year, to one Mr. John Batiste, Stephen Colbert's band leader and performer, and he is good. And there's a music video. He even got nominated for Best Music Video. And the video is just, I think the song is called Remember Me. I got to look that up. My memory may be failing me on this whole thing. But they were celebrating on Colbert last night. And as far as I'm concerned, he deserves all 11 awards. This guy is amazing. And it really does point out how life can surprise you. Like millions of other people across the fruited plains, when David Letterman said, "No, that's it, I'm throwing in the towel here. I've been on for, 31 years? That's enough for me." There was such a void that opened up in my life, and I'm like, well, now what? I'm not knocked out by Jimmy Fallon. I liked Craig Ferguson. He got screwed. He should have gotten a crack at an earlier show. I really hope he comes back with the show sometime, because that show was so funny. And people would go on there and act. They would do things on his show that they would never do, not only on television, but even in public. It was absolutely hilarious. But Dave went bye-bye, and I was like, oh, God. Now what? And then along comes Colbert. And, you know, I was a fan of Colbert, but I didn't think that they would give him the show. And then all that intellectual property, you know, again, Viacom and CBS, those lawyers got to stay busy. You know, everybody remembers when Dave moved from NBC over to CBS, and the lawyers at NBC said, you can't use Larry Bud Melman. You can't do a lot of stuff that you did on NBC. We call it intellectual property. So that's why when they went over to CBS, suddenly he was Calvert DeForest, which is his real name, but no more Larry Bud Melman. So the same thing was facing Stephen Colbert. You know, he couldn't even wear the glasses. They're not wire rim glasses. They didn't have any rims on them. But that was part of his character on the Colbert Report, and he couldn't even do that. I think he broke it one time for a couple of seconds. He put the glasses on, but you know, he's not going to fuck with those lawyers. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, as bummed as everybody was after Letterman went bye-bye, here comes Colbert, and, you know, I never miss the show now. It's a tremendous show. And by the way, last night was really, really great, because I don't want to give too much away. Lady Gaga was on. You got the Batiste thing, and it's just it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to watch every night.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat so good. A turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey, turkey D, turkey, turkey dap. I eat the turkey and I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with the gravy and the cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Darryl Strawberry. Turkey for you and a turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave the girl BD. Gobble, gobble dee, a gobble, gobble ducky. I used to go to camp at Lake Winnipesaukee. Come on, Kevin.
No, that's okay.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Okay.
A turkey for me and a turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in a big brown shoe. Turkey lead me and a turkey lead dumping. Love to eat the turkey with a lot of stuffing. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Oh, turkey with the girls and a turkey with the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroys. Gobble, gobble, gee, and a gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey could only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Hello, Inquestor out there.
Today I shall instruct you on how to cook a turkey's goose. The first step in cooking a turkey is to preheat the oven to 6,000 degrees.
Don't you think that's awfully hot?
Only for the turkey.
Dinner will be ready in about 20 minutes. Turkey with all the trimmings, we are celebrating Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? Alice, I think your calendar is a little mixed up.
It's Thanksgiving to me, because Sam's back and I got him.
Well, since we're celebrating holidays, happy Easter.
Merry Christmas.
One of the things I'm doing today is republishing on Facebook an article that I wrote about my experience, I guess you would say, with planes, trains, and automobiles. Had an opportunity to talk to Steve Martin on a couple of occasions. As you'll hear in this piece that I produced for KMOV, Channel 4, back in the day.
And, of course, the Christmas movie that everyone wants is A Wonderful Life, but what about a Thanksgiving movie? Tonight, J.C. Corcoran talks with actor Steve Martin about a familiar film, which was partially shot in St. Louis.
You know you're in St. Louis?
Yes, I do.
Despite what these scenes around Lambert Field might suggest, Steve Martin has fond memories of the month he spent here shooting the 1987 comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The story of a businessman trying to make it home to Chicago in time for Thanksgiving. Along the way, everything that can go wrong does. And along the way, he gets caught up with an obnoxious but big-hearted traveling salesman played by the late John Candy.
I don't want you to sit here and kind of mourn the death of John, but tell me something you remember about your months together doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It was the first day of shooting. He brought all this exercise equipment in. Yes, you know, jogging things, stationary bikes and weights and everything, and then never touched them.
Is this a coincidence or what?
Also, he was a brilliant actor, especially in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think it was his best work. You know, the first cut of the movie was 4.5 hours long, so I think 2 hours got cut out.
I like me. My wife likes me.
I saw him do scenes that aren't in the movie that are just breathtaking.
And if some of those scenes seem almost too real, Martin told me it may have been a case of more than just good acting on Candy's part.
Well, he was a very sweet guy. Very sweet and complicated. And so he was always friendly, always outgoing and, you know, funny and nice and polite. But I could tell he had kind of a little broken heart inside him.
And so, two characters in a movie who appear to have nothing in common find they're probably more alike than they ever thought. It's John Candy's finest hour and a great message for the holidays. J.C. Corcoran, News 4.
And there's just so much more. I'm going to be publishing a piece today, as I said, on Facebook. We put that thing from Channel 4 up already, and then it's going to be followed up with this thing today. But it is interesting how people wouldn't even imagine getting through Christmas without watching It's a Wonderful Life. And I think that the same thing has happened now at Thanksgiving. It's like mandatory. You got to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, shot partially in St. Louis in 1986. People will remember there was a Blues game I was at, and all of a sudden there was like a murmur in the crowd at the end of, I think it was like the end of the first period. And you could just, something was going on in the crowd, and pretty soon people started pointing towards the press box, and everybody turned around and started looking up, and they're leaning out and waving to everybody as John Candy. They had a break in shooting, so he was at the Blues game and was just sort of hanging out, and got a rousing, enthusiastic welcome from St. Louis Blues fans. And those two characters, played by Steve Martin and John Candy, are just indelible at this point, which makes it even funnier to realize that the producers of the movie originally wanted Tom Hanks and John Travolta to play the two parts. But they just don't make movies like this anymore. They just don't. You know, the movie was as funny as could be, and yet, as was always the case in all the John Hughes movies, pretty much, there was a poignancy that he managed to work into the majority of his films. And that closing scene, you want to talk about a crowd pleaser. And there's a little asterisk that just applies to me at the bottom of this movie, because here's what happened. Everybody remembers the scene where Steve Martin is falling asleep in the car and John Candy is driving, and Candy turns on the radio and the Ray Charles song Mess Around is playing. And when it's over, you hear the voice of former KC Midday guy Al Hofer doing the back sell on it and just doing a little, you know, chatter on the radio. The producers of the movie were looking for me, and they couldn't find me because I was in one of those infamous contract disputes. So I was off the air and not in communication with the radio station or anybody else for that matter. So apparently, as I am told, the producers said, who's the big radio guy here in St. Louis? And everybody said J.C. Corcoran, because at that time, I guess, I don't know, maybe I was, but nobody could find me. So Al Hofer gets the job, and so he makes it into the movie. And frankly, as I've said from the beginning, he did a lot better job than I would have done. It was just perfect for the movie. He sounded perfect in that role. So congratulations to our buddy Al Hofer. Oh, yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't get in, but I'm happy for Al. Now, I'm going to be off for a couple of days, back with you on Monday like everybody else, because I'm just going to try and enjoy the holiday a little bit. But the other thing that's going to be happening between now and the next time we speak is Black Friday. And it's not a good sign when Dollar Tree announces it's officially raising its prices to $1.25. They say, by the way, it has nothing to do with inflation. They just need to charge more to continue carrying customer favorites. No plans to change the name to $1.25, but they've begun promoting a new section in a lot of locations called Dollar Store Plus, which has stuff priced between $3 and $5. But I guess the days of stampeding into stores for the big doorbuster sales, come to the doorbuster. The big doorbuster starts at 6 a.m. And then people are always surprised when somebody actually busts the fucking door. The days of stampeding apparently are over. That's probably good for a lot of people. But if you want to prepare, these are four websites. And I've never heard of these, by the way. Four websites, like I said, I've never heard of these before, that you should have open all day on Friday and through the whole weekend to make sure you get the absolute best deals. One is called Camel, Camel, Camel. It has data on every single product's price history on Amazon. So before you buy anything, look it up on Camel, 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 and make sure it's not usually cheaper on Amazon. Another one called Simply Codes. There are more coupon codes over this weekend than any other time of year. Simply Codes has a bigger database of codes than some of the other big coupon sites like Retail Me Not and Honey. So it's your best chance not to miss one. One's called BrickSeek, BrickSeek, BrickSeek. Shopping in person with BrickSeek, you can get to look up the inventory of popular products on Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Macy's, and more, so you can see how many are in stock at the locations you're heading to. A lot of people have heard those stories about when they say, hey, we got this 75-inch TV for $75, and you show up and they have two of them, and that's it. And they're trying to get away with something. And the Federal Trade Commission is attempting to cure people of this habit, shall we say. And then finally, something called Slick Deals Black Friday Forum. The community on Slick Deals is fantastic at finding amazing Black Friday deals before they sell out. So keep an eye on the forum to get in earlier than the masses on the best deals. Like I said, I haven't heard of any of those. And I didn't know this. It was Abraham Lincoln who proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday on October 3rd, 1863. Somebody named Sarah Josepha Hale is credited with convincing him to do it. She was also the woman who wrote the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. There are two towns in the United States named Turkey in Texas and one in North Carolina. The average number of calories consumed on Thanksgiving, 4,500. And according to the USDA, Missouri, right there in the pack, among the top turkey-producing states, Minnesota, North Carolina, Arkansas, Indiana, Virginia, Iowa, California, and Missouri, dealing out turkeys. More than 5,000 adults were asked for their least favorite Thanksgiving side dish, candied yams, number one. You can eat turkey eggs, by the way. Some people say they're delicious, but you won't see them in stores. According to Modern Farmer, selling turkey eggs doesn't make sense for farmers who are already raising the birds for slaughter. And White Castle recently released two versions of its classic stuffing recipe, bacon, jalapeno, cheese, slider, stuffing. Jeez, there's a lot going on there. And Southwest Jalapeno Cheese Slider Stuffing. The reason you haven't probably seen these is for some odd reason, they put them up on OnlyFans. Well, what is she doing with that turkey egg and stuffing? Who's getting stuffed after all? And the Ocean Spray people say they intentionally fill and label their cranberry sauce upside down to create an air bubble on the rounded side, which is the top. They say the way customers can swipe the edge of the can with a knife to break the vacuum and the log will easily slide out. And there is Thanksgiving dinner flavored candy corn. Sandra Bullock was on with Jimmy Kimmel the other night trying it out, and it did not go over very well. The most Googled turkey cooking technique is something called smoked turkey, number one in most states. Roast turkey is the most popular search in the Northeast, and Hawaii, the only state where fried turkey tops the list, is Louisiana. And one of the things back in the day when I would work on Friday morning on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we'd get stuck working sometimes. Sometimes we did it on the following Monday, where all the stories collected from all over the country where people burned down their house or sometimes their neighbor's house because they tried to fry a turkey inside the garage. Well, it was raining out. And then you always got some guy who says, well, I'll start it. And I'm going to go upstairs, take a shower, and then come back down. When he comes back down, the garage is on fire. So you might want to not do that? And with all the football on, maybe that's the excuse, but 25% of men surveyed say they don't expect to cook at all. That's compared to just 11% of women who said the same. And women are twice as likely to say they do pretty much everything, 48 to 24%. A lot of men don't even help with the dishes. And speaking of that football stuff, Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, Detroit hosting the Bears. Both teams are out of it. Skip that one. Dallas hosting the Vegas Raiders. That's at 3:30. That's not bad. Thanksgiving Day football on NBC. That's tomorrow night. New Orleans hosting the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are still wondering what the hell happened last weekend. 4 days to get ready for the next game. And then on Sunday night, you got Baltimore hosting the Cleveland Browns. Sunday night also on CBS, something called One Last Time, an evening with Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. That's probably going to be worth your time. Late night tonight, Julie Bowen on with Jimmy Fallon. Colbert's got Peter Jackson talking about that Beatles thing that pops up tomorrow on Disney Plus. Oh, geez, I got to get another app now. That's right. I got to do that today. I don't have Disney Plus, but I'm going to get it for this. The Beatles Get Back, three-part documentary from Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson. And again, I'm with Colbert tonight. God, Colbert show is on fire. You know, he's number one. You got John Batiste with all those awards, and you got Peter Jackson. It's a pretty big deal.
President Biden is tapping into America's strategic oil reserve to fight rising gas prices.
Right after you come back from a climate conference, we must end our addiction to fossil fuels. What's that? Gas is $3.50 a gallon. Let the rivers be choked with crude oil and the carcasses of pelicans.
Freddie Mercury died of pneumonia on this date 30 years ago, 1991. He was only 45. And the infamous Lee Harvey Oswald prison transfer that ended up with Jack Ruby shooting him and killing him on live TV was 58 years ago today in 1963.
Del, what are you doing here? You said you were going home. What are you doing here?
I don't have a home. Marie's been dead for 8 years.
Boy, you are one lucky guy, Neil. I won't stay long or anything. Maybe I'll just come in, say hi, and then I'll be on my way, all right?
Just come on.
Griffin?
Christmas, I want you to meet my father-in-law, Walt.
My mother-in-law, Peg.
Hi.
My mother, Joy.
Hello. My dad, Mark.
Glad to see you.
How you doing?
Welcome, Bill.
Hello, guys. Neil Jr.
Hello. This is
my little Jim, Marty. And somewhere around here is my little baby boy, Seth.
Oh.
Corcoran Podcast.